actually, well, the gift of being a florist or a flower arranger that delivers flowers is we're agents for healing.
Welcome to How We Bloom, a podcast offering an oasis of flower ideas. I'm your host, Sharon McGookin, AIFD, AAF, PFCI, and I believe that every great success story starts with one simple idea, a challenge that requires change. We all know that change is inevitable, and that's a good thing. Change moves us forward. Challenge happens for us, not to us. It's how we grow. That's why we interview guests who dare to do things differently, people who plant seeds, grow ideas, and bloom to their full potential. We listen, learn, and that's how we bloom. Today's guest is Jill Manson of Johannesburg, South Africa. Jill hosts a TV show, Fresh Cut, on the South African DSTV home channel. A qualified NLP practitioner for the past 21 years, Jill is known in South Africa as a floral intuitive teacher and healer. Once on a nature walk in the KwaZulu-Natal Midlands of South Africa, Jill experienced an intuitive connection with a little wild flower that inspired her flower journey. Today, she shares with our Bloom community techniques for instructing hands-on classes that guide others onto journeys of self-discovery of their own, using the color, form, and healing essence of flowers and plants. In Jill's own words, she says, "It is possible to find our true nature through nature." Jill and I met online. She does special projects for Smithers Oasis South Africa and I for Smithers Oasis North America. We were sharing information about products and design techniques. We became fast friends through WhatsApp conversations. We finally met when I was invited to be a floral speaker and judge at the first Johannesburg International Flower Show in 2019. That's when I learned of Jill's interesting story and knew that I wanted to share it with you. Welcome to How We Bloom, Jill.
Thank you so much, Sharon. I've been dreaming of sitting here chatting to you the whole day today and ever since we spoke, because it is such a great joy for me to allow this voice to be heard on an international level and us sitting down in the far southern tip of Africa. And it's just so wonderful to be speaking to you. And thank you. Thank you for having me.
Jill, could you give us some basics of how you use flower healing in your classes or with the groups that you present to, and how you reach out to others and help them to understand that truly flowers can be very healing?
You know, I've been doing it for a very long time, almost 21 years now. And every time I am in a session with either just an individual person coming for some therapy or with a group, I'm humbled at the end of each sitting, just so deeply moved again by the power of the plant. And truly, Sharon, I must tell you, I have a gift, yes, and I have been given a gift to facilitate these journeys of discovery using flowers and plants to other people. But the reality of it is that flowers heal. The botanical kingdom is, in my mind, a sentient thing. There is a very powerful energy, I could say, in plants. And I think both you and I, we experience that all the time. You know, when you make an arrangement of flowers, when I'm in the studio, if I've had a bad day and I make a bowl of flowers or a vase or just get stuck in, how the real world kind of stops for a while and we escape into this place of comfort and calm.
I agree with that, Jill. One of the things that gives me such peace, no matter what type of event it is, if it's something simple or if it's a large wedding or if it's a design program that I'm presenting,
But when I am alone in a room of flowers just designing, I can't describe the peace that I feel in that moment. Yeah. And one of the things that I have shared with friends when they say, you know, I know a lot of people who are older in their 80s and their 90s and still working in flowers, and it's really hard work. How is that possible? And yeah. I always stop to think and share with them that flowers are so many healing things. Flowers are the base of some medicines, of creams that are healing, of aromatherapy, of different types of lotions or makeup, or there's so many ways that flowers are used as healing properties. We just don't stop to think of it.
Exactly, Sharon. And it brings me back to the question you asked about, how do I do this? What's the process? What happens? What occurs? You know what? And you know, that day in my life when I was on the mountain and had sat down and had this interlude or this communication that happened between the flower and myself. And I say between the flower and myself, I do believe that the communication that happened to me there actually came from a divine higher source, God, my higher power. And, you know, the only message I was told was, Jill, you're going to use flowers to help people communicate their feelings better to one another and to themselves. And I was like, what? I just thought, wow. And the conversation continued. The second part of it was just a simple sentence. There were two, that first sentence and then the second sentence in this dialogue. I was asked if that little flower I was engaging with, this tiny little purple wildflower with five little petals, if I could give an answer to what feeling that little flower was, what would it be? And I answered straight away and I said, that little flower is passion. That's passion. And then God said to me, yeah, passion to you, Jill, but what do you think that little flower would represent or mean or be to every other human in the world? And that was all I got, really, Sharon. It was just this 30-second dialogue between myself through this little flower and God. And but all I could do was get up and run from that place. And I did. And I ran away with this idea and this thought. And I mean, you know, I'd never done flowers in my life before. I was in advertising. And I thought, how on earth? Now, this is this calling on my life to use flowers to help people communicate to themselves better. How on earth? Blah, blah, blah. And anyway, I won't tell the whole story now, but it took 2 years of sitting with this idea and this little message and my own sense of self-worth, I guess, to realize that I really truly had been called to do some very powerful work. And the joy of it was that it's not because of me, it's in spite of me. So what happens in a typical environment or a therapy session or a group workshop is I will get a selection of fresh seasonal blooms from our local market, and I'll make sure that there's a wide variety of form and color and texture, even some with different fragrances. And what I might also bring to the session, and I'd kind of do this intuitively, so I do a lot of prayer and meditation before I do the sessions, and I say, guide me, let me choose the right blooms, let me choose the right plants for this group or this person. I might choose some pot plants or some moss or some bark or, you know, a fern, a piece of fern or pine cone, anything. And I bring it all to the room. And then unlike all our lives, we've heard about the language of flowers, Sharon. So you say a red rose is love, yellow rose is friendship. And these workshops are slightly different because I don't put my hand on someone and go, ooh, you're a Veronica, and ooh, you're a... It's not like that at all. All I do simply is I get everybody into a very beautiful state of connected to their selves and their body by meditation and a bit of fun stuff there. And then I take them on a journey where they have to choose flowers from the range that represent certain emotional, spiritual, or physical experiences, values, or states that they are currently having or being. So, for example, the first one will say, who are you right now? What does your life look like? What kind of emotion are you having? What's happening for you in the world? And how do you look? And if you could pick a flower plant from this selection, which one best describes or shows or represents your current state? You know, for some people, they're just sad or scared. They're living in fear. Others are up and they're feeling quite jovial and alive. So one lady or man or person may come back to me with an old dry stick and say, this is me now, Jill. I say, why? Because I've got nothing left. I'm exhausted. I have no hope. I don't feel growth in any way. And then the other person might choose a beautiful oriental lily that's full bloom. And I say, and you? Well, look. Look at this flower opening up to receiving. And I'm there, Jill, at this point in my life. I want so much more from life. So, Sharon, a big lot of talking from me here, but do you see how it's actually allowing people to use the shape, form, and color of flowers and plants to mirror their current state? And as we progress then through, they get to choose sometimes 3, sometimes 5, sometimes 7 stems or different varietals to start to tell the story of their life. And yeah, that's basically how powerful it is, because, you know, we all have the answers we need inside of us. Sometimes you just need somebody else to show you using something else where to look.
The people, once they choose their flowers in your classes, then they create a design, a flower arrangement with those flowers. Is that correct?
That's correct. So, Sharon, this gets like very exciting for them, because now they have their 5, say, elements, and each flower or plant element has a meaning. It may be trust and forgiveness and gentleness and self-love. And then they take only those flowers, but more of the same. And I allow them to just intuitively create a design in a container or a bowl, whatever it is for the day. And they arrange these flowers together. But what they're actually doing is they're arranging emotion. And then they finish, and I intuitively feed back to them based on floristry design principles and elements, Sharon, you know them well, balance, form, scale, and proportion. And we talk about the design and where it might be, what something might be missing. And usually then that feeds even more into their life story, because I might say, look, there's a big gap here between peace and love. What do you think that could be? And what do you want to fill it with? And then they'll place another flower in that space that is then might be harmony or something. So we keep evolving the story, and eventually there's this beautiful arrangement that actually has, it's a picture of their self, but it's a gift for them to heal from and with.
So you're helping them to tie together their spiritual elements along with the floral elements. So they're learning design, but they're learning self-introspection too, it sounds like to me, Jill.
That's right. That is true. So they get a bit of both,
That's very wonderful. And if you've never experienced the flowers in South Africa, I was so astounded. The collection of Protea just was amazing. And the most interesting thing to me, I have been in flowers for 47 years. In all these years of handling beautiful Protea, I have never smelled that soft baby powder fragrance that the flowers have in the shipping to the U.S. That is lost to us. And I just found that so amazing that there was this fragrance that in 47 years I'd never experienced. When I arrived at the Johannesburg airport to meet you, Jill, a very kind friend, Erica Hughes, met me at the gate with this big, beautiful King Protea. And then when we were at the supplier at the flower show, I'd just never seen so many of those those protea varieties. So they tell me there's just this entire scape of them. And yeah, you go into that area. Tell us a little bit about that area.
It's fresh in my mind because about 3 days ago, I was walking in the Roberg Nature Reserve in near Neisner, and with my friend who's bought a farm there with the intention of starting to cultivate flowers for the cut industry here. And there is this huge slope on the one side of his farm that is just fynbos, proteas, pincushions. And you walk through these flowers that are head high, that they tower above you. And as you're walking, Sharon, you pass the pink king protea, then the white king protea, then the green limelight Niobe protea. Then over there is Venus, just tucked in, that beautiful cerise pink Venus protea. She's the one that has that black velvet tip, you know. And then there is just the smaller one, the red robin is right there. And you think to yourself, you know, for goodness sakes, the colors and the different sizes, and it's spectacular, spectacular.
And the fragrance.
And the smell. Yeah.
Just incredible.
And that's the mount. That truly is one of our most wonderful things about this country, is our fynbos and our indigenous proteas. And that smell of, it's just the best smell ever. You want to bottle it and wear it as perfume.
I would do that. I am so envious of you for having that opportunity. That was my goal, had the pandemic not interrupted us. I was planning to come back for the flower show again this past year and have the opportunity to go to Cape Town and to visit that area, because everybody kept telling me about how amazing it was. You have all been very affected by the pandemic too. Tell us how that has affected your flower industry. I was in on a number of Zoom calls when it first began with a lot of our flower friends there in South Africa, and it was just so difficult to hear all the stories.
Yep. Sharon, it was very hard. A lot of my friends lost their businesses, mostly the very high-level events companies that weren't day-to-day florists, but they were just doing events. So floral designers and styling for events. Probably about five of our top, You met three of them at the show. Mm-hmm. Have closed. They're finished. They're done. The one gentleman actually went to and he started a really lovely flower shop. He became a florist again. So did I. So what COVID actually did for a lot of us is it took us back to our roots, and the way in which we survived was to start doing day-to-day flower deliveries again when we were allowed to. We were opened up on level 3, we could start trading again. And the biggest hit we've had, I think, in terms of the business here in South Africa is how badly our flower farmers around Johannesburg were affected and how much it cost them, and to get back on their feet again to start to supply the huge quality and quantity that we would see day to day here on the Johannesburg flower market, because it's the biggest one in South Africa. There is no market in Cape Town like we have here. So this is the main depot distributing flowers to all of our provinces. So we saw an exceptionally big drop in quality and grade and a very high spike in prices. Oh, it was just like just crazy. And it's been a rough ride because we have been hit as well with probably the longest, coldest winter here in Johannesburg for a very long time. So it's been really hard to keep our businesses going. As you can imagine, with the spike in prices and the drop in grade and quality, our margins are very much smaller, but it'll change. I believe it will. It's got to turn the wheel. And yeah, I think with the summer that's coming and some rain and the farmers hopefully starting to put more flowers in the ground, we will get back to where we were.
Yes, I always believe this too shall pass. And it always does. And but many times when something does pass, it leaves behind a form of change, and change is growth. And we just have to look to the new opportunities, as you said, and go along with that change. A vast number of products that aren't available at the moment. And it's been hard for U.S. florists as well. On the other hand, it has been great for florists because some people learned and some people remembered that flowers can be there when you cannot. And so it has been a great deal of new business for florists in terms of customers remembering how important flowers are when it comes to celebrating life.
I reiterate that. There were two things I wanted to say to you. The one was what you've just said, is that my eyes have been opened again to why we do this as a business. What we are actually with the gift of being a florist or a flower arranger that delivers flowers, is we're agents for healing.
Wondering who's partnering with me in bringing practical solutions to you? This podcast is brought to you by Smithers Oasis North America. Why is Oasis investing in your business, helping you to meet challenge with change? Smithers Oasis North America understands that you need fresh ideas to inspire new growth, big ideas of innovation and inspiration. Oasis carefully plants the seeds of your success by offering a balance of traditional and on-trend products that enhance your designs. Simply visit your wholesale supplier for your favorite Oasis products, or view the online section of direct delivered to you products and seasonal inspiration now available from oasisfloralproducts.com. While you're on our website, check out our blog. Scroll down to the featured post section and enjoy the collection of design tips and flower ideas for weddings, holidays, in-store or online business, and lots more. After you enjoy each podcast episode, please share them with your flower friends. Had to identify a change that the COVID challenge left to your flower industry, Jill, what would that be?
What happened was all of our eyes opened up to how very important our industry is, how beautifully flowers take messages from heart to homes, and how flowers and florists actually we have a very special role to play. We are agents of healing, for healing, because everything we do is to say thank you, to say I'm with you, to say I love you, to say I'm sorry, to say bless you. We have got the most wonderful job in the world. And COVID for me reminded me of that. It gave me great confidence that our industry will never die. It'll never die. And I don't know if you felt it, Sharon, but we came together as a community.
Yes.
Collaborations. I have made the most wonderful collaborations with my competition, you know, and we've evolved, and we're sharing so much more. And I believe that's such a gift.
Yes, I did experience that in the Zoom calls when we were trying to find solutions. And thank you so much for including me in those. It was wonderful to be able to help perhaps think through things that they could do. And again, you know, with every challenge comes change, but with change comes opportunity. And so we just have to reach out to that. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to reach out to you, Jill, because I thought flower healing is something we haven't delved into enough. Our SAF, Society of American Florists, did studies and proved that people heal faster and feel better and feel happier in the presence of flowers. So how do you think we could use this? What would be some ideas of how our traditional florist, or even our freelance florists who do work via social media, how could they use the flower healing concept in their businesses or in their classes? Or how do you have any tips for how they could share that information?
And I think the very first step is for us as florists, as social media influencers, as educators in the industry, is to remember it for ourselves, that when we walk into our shops every morning, that we can leave our ego mind and go into heart and for a moment connect with the flowers in our shop, look at them, admire them, contemplate them, be grateful for them, and put that energy into the start of every day. And I find when I do that at the shop, my days are so blessed. And the truth is, Sharon, we don't have to do the work. The flowers do the work. We just have to say to our clients, look at these. Which ones do you feel for? And maybe the client then goes and says, well, I'm being drawn to this rose today. Oh, wonderful. Tell me a bit more about why. I don't know. Well, maybe it's just the way it's shaped in for your life. And, you know, that I think is the gift, because so much of the time it's just a quick telephone call from a corporate. Hi, Jill, can you send some flowers to Zanelle at City Deep? But she's, you know, we've lost that connection to what it is we're actually doing. And you can't do it everywhere, Sharon, but you can definitely do it in certain places. And I think when is doing it herself, himself, when you are operating in your business from your heart center as opposed to your head, it happens naturally. And your clients you will attract the same kind of visitor to your door. When you are resonating that kind of energy, people will come there, will feel it. It's the law of attraction.
Yes, and you become more interested in serving than selling.
There you go. And you get out of the way and you make the flowers the hero, because that they are. It's not us. Yes, we can put them together beautifully, but they are the stars. So another thing I wanted to say, Sharon, is I actually spent some time when I was studying the healing of flowers, and there's a documentary series I've been working on for a long time, TV documentary series. I interviewed the head of molecular botany at the University of Cape Town, and she was given a Laureate Prize for her thesis done on a plant that grows in South Africa called the resurrection plant. This plant never dies, even if it's out of water. It can be in the felt and it can be uprooted out of the soil and lie on the felt floor and be dry and dead for weeks. As soon as you put that flower back in water, it starts to come back to life. It goes green. The whole thing goes green again. And she basically, her thesis was how you could take the elements of the cellular structure of that plant and put it into the subsistence crops of the African subsistence farmers all the way through our continent, so that when they planted their maize and they planted their food and their severe drought came and their crop died, as soon as it rained, the crop would come back to life.
Amazing.
And she was awarded this incredible prize, and I got to meet her and interview her. And she told me, Sharon, she teaches it at the university, and she said her students all bring a plant to class, and each plant can be the same plant in the same environment, but they have personalities. Each student will speak to their plant every day, and all these plants change according to the nature of the dialogue happening between the owner of that plant and the plant. And she said it has been scientifically proven that flowers and plants have a vibrational frequency, an energy field. And so do we. And sometimes they connect. And that's when you just walk into a florist and you say, oh, I feel for those delphiniums today. There's a reason why.
That brings me to a quote I heard from you that said, we can then say it is possible to find our true nature through nature.
Correct. This is the truth. It's about coming back to who you really are, your authentically true self, the one that is not afraid, that doesn't think I am not enough. A powerful, powerful self when we look at flowers. It shows us the same.
And I feel we're very blessed to have the opportunity, first, to work with flowers, but second, to share those flowers with others.
That's 100% right.
Today, Share and Shout Out goes to a collection of South African social sites to enjoy amazing flowers growing wild in the countryside, or inspiration from South African floral artists. I always find surfing these sites a delight. South African Flower Union, South African Flowers, and Leon's Botanical Treasures. Check them out. Let us know what you think, and be sure to tell my friend Leon that I sent you. If you have a shout out you would recommend or a guest you would like to hear on our podcast, please DM Sharon McGuckin. That's McGuckin. Or email me at SharonMcGuckin@gmail.com.
Well, Jill, you are amazing. It was such a pleasure to be with you in South Africa. And I just remembered there was one thing I wanted to share. I saw a documentary about how the plants will rotate themselves around in a space, the grasses in particular, and encircle a smaller and smaller amount of water so that they can continue to live. And then when the rains come, they move back out again and then begin coming in closer and closer, pushing the water together. And I actually saw a small pond where I could tell that was what was happening when we were on safari. And I thought that was the most amazing thing because it was like what I saw on the documentary.
That's right. And you know, the lady I speak of that did her thesis and did that research on the resurrection plant, her name is Jill Farrant. Jill, like me, but spelled with a G. I'm a J. I had that question to ask her. It was one my main question I wanted to ask her. And I said to her, Jill, can flowers and plants think? Do they think? Can they think? And she looked me straight in the eyes and she said, yes. Not only do they think, but they move. I tell you, I've got goosebumps right now, right? Because I was just, and I think this is what I'm, what I want the world to know. And, you know, I know I told you I'm trying to start my podcast channel, such same as you, to inspire and keep doing the work. Because we have to remember how important our botanical kingdom is, because she also said, imagine if suddenly a magic wand was waved and all the plants, all trees, all flowers, all grasses disappeared off the earth, gone, poof, in 1 second. It would take 15 minutes for the whole of humanity to die because they give us breath. They are responsible for giving us the oxygen we breathe. They are so important. And I want people in the world to remember that and to find a relationship with them. So we save this planet, Sharon. You know, we do the work on reminding people that the plant kingdom is alive and it's for us.
And it's with us. And it gives us life. It gives us nutrition. It gives us life. Yeah. It gives us beauty. Yeah. There's just so many ways that flowers serve us. What's the name of the podcast you're developing at the moment?
It's called Rooted, as in plant roots. It's called Rooted with Jill Manson, and it's about finding your true nature through nature. So I share stories of all different South African plants and my experiences with them, coming across them on my flower journeys and my wildflower hunting walks, and the message that I receive from them that I share, and also just sharing really cool tips and facts and interesting things about that actual plant, like how it's pollinated and wonderful. Yeah, so that's what it's about. Rooted.
Well, and Jill, you shared with me one of your stories that you will share in the podcast, and it was about a sweet potato. And I will never look at a sweet potato the same again. It was just a magical story.
Oh, thanks, Sharon. It's been fun writing them.
Well, we thank you so much for being with us. We thank you for sharing your story and for giving us the suggestion of how we too can use flowers for healing, for our customers, for ourselves, for our flower community, and just helping us to see flowers in that healing light. Thank you so much, Jill.
Thank you, Sharon. Thank you for having me.
Smithers Oasis North America and I thank Jill Manson for sharing her story of flower healing. We know that everyone has a story, and we can all learn from each other. We can't wait to hear your story. Be sure to leave your comments and ideas. After you enjoy each episode, please hit subscribe, then share it with your flower friends. You don't want to miss the inspired solutions our upcoming guests have to offer. In closing today, I'll share the words of Eckhart Tolle. Look at a tree, a flower, a plant. Let your awareness rest upon it. How still they are, how deeply rooted in being. Allow nature to teach you stillness. Until next time, I'm Sharon McGuckin, reminding you to invest time in connecting with the powerful, gentle consciousness of nature. For that's how we bloom. Remember to subscribe now and join me for our next podcast.